So we can go straight to the verse. Today they gave me this verse, 11:5:32. We'll do a quick review of this verse. I just read the translation because the purport will actually be long, and probably by the end of the purport the class is finished. So, translation. We will jump word for word, if it's okay with everyone. Is that okay? In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So, we all know, actually, just to respect Prabhupada's purport, we'll read the first paragraph, because we should give way to Prabhupada's words before my speculation comes about. This same verse is quoted by Krishna Das Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 3, verse 52. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada has given the following commentary on this verse. You may ask, you know, how come Prabhupada is commenting about himself? Yeah, it's actually not Prabhupada writing here, the 11th canto, but it's Hridayananda Goswami, and so he's quoting Prabhupada. Just to clarify, Prabhupada has given the following commentary on this verse. The text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:5:32. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam known as the Krama Sandarbha, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears with a golden complexion. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age, which means mainly worshipped practically by the book distributors, by those who engage in Harinam and Prasad distribution. Those are the great worshippers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone who gives out the mercy to other conditioned souls. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Garga Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he also appears three colors, red, white, and yellow. Which one is red? Just a little test, yeah? Varaha. Very good. And which one is the white? Which one is the white? Balaram is also white. And yellow? Who is yellow? Maybe not Varaha. You're right. What do you think, Govinda? Yes, there is Yagya also, but it's disputable. Yugadharma, yeah. He exhibits these white and red complexions in Satya and Treta ages, respectively. He did not exhibit the remaining color, yellow gold, until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who is known as Gaura Hari. And you'll see in the picture here, yellow. So, this is a partial purport from the Bhagavatam, from Hridayananda Goswami. And we'll try to, we have 20 minutes. We'll speak, I'll speak for 15 minutes and then 5 minutes questions. Let's see if we can do it. Compressed Bhagavatam class. So today also we'll speak about four topics. It's the disappearance day of Srila Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj. And it's the beginning of the 5 days, the final 5 days of Kartik, which are very powerful. They're called Bhishma? Panchamrita, yes. And also I'll speak a little bit about Radha Damodar, the baby Damodar, and a little bit about book distribution, if he's all right with all of you. So, Srila Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj will get precedence on this. He was a great personality, very smart, very intelligent. In ISKCON, we all think that, what has he done? What kind of preaching he did? Isn't that? When I first joined, you know, I was wondering what he did for Lord Chaitanya. He was just a Babaji. What was the point for him to come in this world, sit down, chant Hare Krishna, and being in Samadhi? But actually he did something wonderful that not many of us. Very intelligent sadhu. He made one disciple that he did all the work on his behalf. You can see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was his disciple, and it was even a, you know, hard task for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to get refuge and initiation from this great personality. So we should not undervalue the great sages like Srila Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did so much preaching. He made 60,000 disciples. It reminds me a little bit about in ISKCON, you know, an intelligent sannyasi. I very much love him, and he's very peaceful, very calm, and he reminds me of Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj. Let me see if anyone knows who I'm just about to talk about. Who? Yes. No, not Japataka Swami. Who? Yes. Jayadvita Swami, he, since the time I've known him, he was always reluctant to accept disciples, but very merciful. You know, he said, you know, everybody is a guru, he told me once in Leicester, and I am the disciple of everyone. Why should I be a guru? But anyway, he's a super qualified teacher of Krishna consciousness, but he made one disciple, his very first disciple, Solinesh Kadambakanana Swami, and you could see he made so many disciples all over ISKCON in a very short time, wonderful disciples, and one of them is Solinesh Keshava, Bhagavan Keshava Swami. With, you know, we have wonderful devotees, disciple of Kadambakanana Swami. Those are all there from the mercy of Jayadvita Swami. So you can see that renunciation bears fruit, even to be a guru. That's real renunciation, one of the opulence of Krishna. You know, we boast about things in ISKCON, but let's see who's got that opulence. Very rarely devotees, they display such a thing. To renounce to be a guru, to renounce to be worshipped, to renounce the opulence, to renounce followers. These are all the recommendations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also, he didn't make many disciples. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the same. Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, came to him begging for initiation. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, go to Swarup Damodar. From now on, you will be known as a Raghu of Swarup. You belong to Swarup Damodar. So this is the process. You know, you put a particular devotee under the care of another devotee that you trust. So Mahaprabhu, he had that, you know, beautiful, opulent behavior. Renunciation. He was a renounced sannyasi. Very, very few disciples he met. Very few. Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, right? And who else was initiated by Lord Chaitanya? You can count on the finger of your hands. But, yes, so that's the opulence of Srila Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj. So he went away, disappeared on this day, and he left us this beautiful enterprise of the fruits of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who made a Srila Prabhupada disciple, you know, Srila Prabhupada as his disciple. And you can see what Prabhupada did all over the world. So we are all properties of this Acharya. Srila Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj was actually meditating. His samadhi and prayers was for all of us. And he made it happen just by giving shelter to one special devotee. Sometimes in ISKCON, you know, we follow the success. Whoever is got most disciple, he must be powerful. You know, we mentioned a few names before. That's correct. That's fine, but that's not the absolute statement. Humble devotee, sometimes intelligent devotees. I remember Tamala Krishna Maharaj told me once. He said, "You know, you shouldn't bring me a lot of." Disciples, let them take shelter. There are so many, the local guru here, he's always available. I am far away. You know, I don't have a time. You know, the physical time for emotional devotees. You know, because there's a difference between devotional service and emotional service. There are some devotees, they are emotion, they want the guru, to serve the guru. Carry the bag to cook for the guru. You know, that's fine. But, you know, you can have a guru, a simple, humble guru, all for yourself. You know, someone who is not very popular. And that's Krishna consciousness, renunciation. So, we'll talk a little bit about Bhishma Dev, he was on the bed of arrow. Today was his first day of fasting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. I was asking Govinda Prabhu, maybe Maharaj can clarify this point. If today Bhishmadev, one of the Mahajan, was laying on the bed of arrows fasting, that means the Bhagavad Gita was already spoken. Correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. Right? So how come the Gita Jayanti comes later? Does anybody know? Because after, on the fifth day, Bhishma Deva passed away. He drank some Ganges water. Arjuna came, he drew some Ganges water. But those 5 days he actually preached the science of the Vedas, the essence of the Vedas, and that's why he became renowned as the one of the Mahajans. Does anybody know why Gita Jayanti is after and not before? Maharaj, have any idea? The last 5 days. Different opinion, yeah. So, I leave that to the pundit to do the research, and the opinion I leave it to to the senior pundit. Sometimes, you know, it's better to not try to dig up into these things, because otherwise, you know, it can become speculation, you know, the opinion. So it's better to leave an open heart, an open mind. But, however, it was true that today Bhishma Devi started his fasting before he passed away. And that's why we celebrate his very powerful day on Ekadasi Day. It's the day of the Lord. We do half day fast. And for the next 5 days, we will gain the benefit of all the rules that we have broken during the month of Kartik. Like myself, you know, I hardly came to offer a candle. But I did, you know, in my heart, at home. But still, you know, it's recommended to come and offer a candle to the Lord. But if you have broken any rules or principles or offenses or anything you have done, if you do properly worship Lord Damodar in these last 5 days sincerely, you will become very powerful, very purified. You will be absolved from all your sins, all the offenses that you have committed this month. So how wonderful the Lord is. Sometimes he gives, you know, the essence of Kartik, you know, for us to get purified. Lord Damodar, it was also, I think, the day when Nanda Maharaj, he liberated Lord Krishna from the mortal. He was the one to untie Damodar. He was crying because, of course, we all know the story, but it's nice to repeat this story again, that he was punished by the mother for stealing a butter, stealing the love of the gopis. So, not very naughty, that's how the Lord is. He comes in your heart and without any permission, and he steals your love. And he was tied to a mortar, and he was crying, helpless, because he was bound by the love of the mother, which is very powerful, Vatsalya Ras. Now the servant, they came out, they ran out, saw him crying. First of all, all the passive devotees, the Shantaras, the blade of grass, the trees, they wanted to free him. The flowers, the rivers, you know, they tried to move to try to untie Krishna, but they couldn't do it because Shantaras is passive love. It's actually the neutral, is the lowest one in the spiritual world. Then you have the servant, Dasyaras. They ran out, they saw Krishna crying, but they could not untie him. And then the friends of Krishna, the Sakya, they came also to try to untie him, but they could not do that. Why? Because these are all rasa below the Vatsalya ras. The gopis, they had the power of untying Krishna, but they enjoyed very much to see him bound up to a tree, because they just wanted a break from him. You know, very naughty. So Radharani and all the gopis, they enjoyed to see him crying and struggling. And it was a pastime, of course, not out of cruelty. But because he was bound by the Vatsalya Ras, so he could only be untied by the Vatsalya mood and the higher Ras, which was conjugal mood. So Nanda Maharaj came on the scene and he became very upset, you know, with the Yashoda, and he untied Krishna. And he hugged Krishna, because he was always, you know, the father usually is always a bit more lenient, you know, to the children, isn't it? The mother is a bit more strict, or is the other way around? I don't know. We say the grandfather is the one who is merciful. But in this case, Nanda Maharaj was known for being always very compassionate. And that's why the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually this verse was chosen by Niskinchana Prabhu for me. I asked his wife to choose anything at random, and I'll speak about it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to show that mood of Nanda Maharaj, to untie the conditioned souls from the trees of this Maya, of this material world. It was you who chose the verse? Thank you, Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came with weapons, his beauty, just with his beauty. And these weapons of Mahaprabhu, they can be displayed by a book distributor. When you go out, you know, that type of beauty, spiritual beauty of Mahaprabhu becomes manifest in your body. And people, that's how people, they take a book. But it requires a little bit of surrender to become instrument or channel of those opulence of the Lord. Beauty and the old parampara is with you. The wisdom becomes manifest through your face. People, they trust you. Because they don't trust anyone in this world. They don't trust politicians. Everywhere you go, in every country, people, you know, there's always a re-election, because they've been, governments, they last very, very short time, because they keep cheating people. And then on top of it, as the cherry on the cake, you get wars everywhere. So, and on top of it, the government, instead of looking after the people, you know, they charge them more tax, the food, everything is going up, and people, they don't know what to do. So they don't trust anyone. They don't trust the doctors, scientists, they don't trust the teachers, they don't trust politicians, they don't trust leaders. It's rebellion. There is a rebellion there in the heart of everyone. There's that mood. But when you go out and you show the compassion, which is the heart, the crown jewel of love, they don't just see love, people, and care when you go out and distribute books, but they see that compassion in your eyes, in your speech, and they trust you. Because through sound vibration, people, they are conquered. And you just pass on the message, give them a few words from the Bhagavad Gita, and Srila Prabhupada will do the rest. So this is our duty we take up, we undertake in this beautiful service, especially the month of the marathon. Devotees, they're preparing once again their consciousness to go out and help the conditioned souls. Otherwise, we remain, you know, Sunday feast devotees, you know, they remain in the court of Bhaktivedanta Manor, Lord Krishna, and then Krishna will dwindle you as a baby, you know, you take prasad, you take the milk, you take the association of devotee, you read the books, and then we fall asleep in the cot, in the samadhi of Bhaktivedanta Manor, which is nice, it's good. You go back home, back to Godhead, so long you chant Hare Krishna and stay in the cot. What do you call it? The baby cot, yeah? I mean, this is for anyone who's practiced spiritual life for himself but not preaching. They're like, you know, comfortable in the cot, and you warm there, don't have to face the mind, the storm, the weather. You do go back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada doesn't become upset, you know, and say, hey, you know, when are you going to repay your debt to me to go out and help me? No, he doesn't do that. Even the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they request very humbly, with tears in their eyes, please help me. Please help me. This is the liberal mood of the saints. You know, they're not Taliban. You know, either you go out and distribute books or you die or you go to hell. We're not Christians. You know, either you embark in bathing into the blood of Christ or you are go to hell. We are very lucky. We have saintly personalities. They're commanding our faith and love with love. They command it with love. They inspire us. Just like now, I go out every day on book distribution because I feel free. Because I want to do it. Not anymore like before, when there was Dzogchen Acharya domination. We had to go out because we were told to go out. Of course, it was necessity. We depend, you know, on the income, the revenue of book distribution to maintain temples. In the beginning, everybody struggled. We had to do it. There was a great sacrifice. But now there is so much opulence in ISKCON. We don't need very much money, but we do need to get purified and help out the conditioned soul. I liked what Antaranga Prabhu, he goes out with that mood. Said, we don't need money. Manor doesn't need money. There is so much coming on. You know, we have developed so many enterprise weddings. Actually, I was the one to discover wedding business, and all the money was going to buy books, PBT books. And I started to charge people. I made the recommendation on the temple council. And they said, okay, £1.25 per plate in those days. But now, you know, weddings, they make very good money. And then there is Janmashtami festival. There is so many, you know, the patrons, all glories to them. You know, they're actually maintaining the temple so with the hope so that you can go out and feel free to preach. So, you know, we have to give them the credit. They're taking off the burden from your shoulder, the patrons. For many years they've been doing this. That is a great sacrifice. And I always take my hat off, you know, to Dilip, Kaushik, all those devotees we've been serving. And you don't even see them with a dhoti and kurta, or, you know, but they're there serving. They're actually soldiers of Bhaktivedanta Manor because they want you to be free and preach. So all glories to their service. So I'll stop the class here. I went 2 minutes over, actually 5 minutes off. There is a Puspanchali and then the Guru Puja. I think we can do in 20 minutes, isn't it? Puspanjali and Guru Puja. So we can leave 5 minutes. I was told actually by Smarari to finish 8:40. So I'll go by the rules of a brahmachari. There's any questions? Maharaj, any? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Is on? In regard of Gorkishori Dasbhavji, it's very interesting. I was always kind of in a, not dilemma, but it was total avaduta, total made of different substance than all our acharyas in line. And so how is that although Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has so much reverence for his own father, Bhakti Thakur, and he was his inspiration, but somehow why he didn't take initiation from his own father. I cannot reconcile that. One personality who was completely different, almost like, you know, like we have some kind of structure of something, which has certain flow, but then something totally foreign, totally different, introduces into that, and then to boost up the parampara, kind of. I'm just wondering, in that regard, of Gorky Shordas Pajaji, what was his linkage actually, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, regarding from whether maybe Swarup or whatever, is almost like, you know, I like him, his biography is amazing. I like his avadutas, you know, who don't care for any order and something, but he just came with his own energy.
Okay, I understood
just to
your
boost
question.
It's
a similar scenario, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to announce and glorify the beautiful personality of Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar, it's one of the Astasaki. He's a great personality, but he was overlooked in the Vaishnava. He was underlooked. So he got this great personal renunciant of Raghunath Das Goswami. He said, no, you take shelter of him. He's your spiritual master. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur did the same thing. Said, here, there is a great personality and I want you to take shelter of him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the mood of Lord Chaitanya. He placed his own son under the care of Srila Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj because he knew that getting the mercy of this renunciant, it was something special. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a great respect himself for Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj. So he came for that purpose. He was, otherwise, there is no need for an Uttamadhikari to come in this world if he doesn't preach. Might as well stay in the spiritual world. As soon as they come, if you see them feasible, it means they are Madhyamadhikari. So even though all his life he was like always absorbed in samadhi, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this vision. He could see that what would come out by his son taking shelter of him. He had a vision, you know, that by the mercy of Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj, you know, he will empower Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He made 60,000 disciples, and one of them was special, Srila Prabhupada, who brought, you know, the manifestation of Mayapur project. We could see. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had all that in his vision, that the whole world will be saved. So that's why the catalyst principle behind all this was, you know, it was important and necessary to get the mercy of Srila Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj. Once Tamal Krishna Maharaj told, I went to him and said, I want to do a strong marathon this year. Please give me your mercy before he went away. He said to me, go to Mother Kalangana and beg for mercy. And I did. I did that. By the mercy of Mother Kalangana, many years, I used to always go and beg, touch her feet and beg for mercy. And, you know, the mercy of the Vaishnava is very powerful. It's the oil, the benzene, the gas, keeps the fuel, you know, of our consciousness doing extraordinary things, you know, to go fast, to go long way. Mercy is very essential. And you cannot command to the heart. You see, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, even though his heart was towards Srila Gaurakishore Babaji Maharaj very much, as a spiritual father, more than Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He followed the instruction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but just like, you know, I love my father, but still, I'm sure that if you, you know, like, Keshava Maharaj, I'm sure he felt attracted, you know, by Jayadvaita Swami, but his heart drove him towards Kadambakanana Swami. See, we cannot command to the heart. It's a very intimate business, you know, wherever the heart pulls you towards your guru, that's it. You have to go by the dictation of the heart. You want to add anything else, Maharaj, on this?
I think you answered very nicely. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once he said, the best Ghosti Anandi is the Bhajan Anandi who preaches. So that was a very significant statement, because clearly Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took the Bhajan mood from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. You know, he for 11 years chanted 1 billion names of Krishna, severe austerities, chaturmasya. So we are not Bhajan Anandis, yet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took that mood of Bhajan from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. We can say to build that absorption within the parampara also. So yeah. Clearly the parampara moves in such a way that everyone brings in an element into that which...
And he dovetailed it in preaching. You know, he did the opposite of his guru. You know, he went to Radhakund with the Rolls Royce. And it was like he wanted all the Babaji to see him, you know, in opulence. Isn't it? You know, he... Uttavairagya. The mood of Srila Gaur Kishore Babaji, he dovetailed it, you know, into opulent preaching. And that's what Prabhupada did as well. Use everything in Krishna's service. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Just to add on to what you're saying, there's a beautiful glorification that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj gave to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, that I'm like the boat, but he's the rudder. Mm. So, you know, the boat cannot function without the power of the rudder to take it forward. Sorry, battery, yeah. Mm. So, because, you know, people externally see Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj as this erudite, or, you know, orator, scholar, preacher, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was seen more as an avadut, and, you know, obviously not externally, like, out there, but, you know, but Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj put it in line as to the value of what Gaur Kishore Das Babaji gave him, yeah.
Thank you. There is any Akovinda? 2 minutes, then we'll do the Puspanjali.
Just Rupa Vilas Prabhu, he's on Amazon. There's now the biography of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, which is now an expanded version of a book that was written 30 years ago. So it's now available on Amazon. There's lots of new pastimes in surrounding Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj.
Wow. Any ladies? Final? One lady at least we can have. Yes? Sorry, Prabhu.
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhu. So this is just
can you put it on?
A technical question about the fasting. On
technical.
Bhishma,
technical.
Yeah, Bhishma Panchaka. What kind of fast is it, like Ekadashi fast we have to do on Bhishma Panchaka, or full fast, or... about the fast?
I'm not very learned on these fasting rules. It's a Ekadasi fast. It's a Ekadasi today. Today is a Ekadasi, by the way. It's half a day fast, or is all day? Half a day fast.
But for the rest of the 5 days, I mean to say, for 5 days.
Oh, yeah. The question is, it's for 5 days, this fast, or it's... Yes, do you know?
I think it's an individual take on it.
Okay.
I know I was in Vrindavan.
Give her a microphone, because these people, Jaini Thai Prabhu was listening online and a few others.
I think it's a personal dedication,
okay.
Whoever wants to. I know devotees in Vrindavan who passed away, came a kirtan. I interpret, just came in my head. He was very strict on this some people will do this 5 items you should take, one day ghee, one day cow urine, all the 5 items from the cows. And they will sleep on the mat. He was very, very strict with like khichdi, very, very, without salt practically, very austere. And then at the end of the 5 days, he used to give a huge feast to the Vaishnava. But I think it's in the individual take on it. How would like to, you know, like you mentioned, if you haven't been able to continue for the 5 days, I mean for the whole month, you can intensify these 5 days, either to go all Ekadashi, once a day prasad, or just go on fruits. Some people just do milk. I think it's an individual, very individual, according to your health, how you can carry on these 5 days.
Yeah, thank you very much. Is that okay? So on that note, so we can adjourn the class. We have 15 minutes to feed in Pushpanjali and Guru Puja. Thank you very much for being with me. Sorry I got too late on this. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gaura Kishore Babaji Maharaj ki jai. Hari Gopal Premanandi, Hari Gopal.